Welcome to the We Are Superman podcast. My name is Bill Stahl. I know for a lot of you, you are a little bit shocked to see the We Are Superman podcast show up again in your inbox. It is back. It's alive. I know you're also probably shocked to hear a voice other than David Clark's. As a lot of you folks know, David unfortunately, tragically, sadly passed away in May of 2020. It's about 6 months to the day that I'm recording this podcast, and I'm going to try to keep David's legacy going in several ways. One of them is going to involve you, and I will talk about that later in this podcast, but one of the ways certainly is to keep this podcast going here, the We Are Superman podcast. In the past 6 months, a lot of people have told me how much David influenced their life, how he changed their life, how he saved their lives. And so, people told me they missed this podcast. David started it in October of 2017. And I just think with what's going on here in 2020, that it's a really good time to bring some positivity back into people's lives. And I think this podcast can certainly serve to do that once again. I'm certainly grateful to David for showing me a lot over the years about how to listen, to be open. He and I were very opposite in our political views, but we kind of realized if we just listened to each other, we actually agreed on a lot of things. Liberals and libertarians like he was, we're really not that different. It's not a spectrum of political views. It's more of a circle. We certainly came together and agreed on a lot of things. And by listening to the other side, I think we're all better off. David taught me a lot about the addiction world, something I didn't know a whole lot about. Obviously, he came from a background of being a 320-pound drug-addicted, fast-food junkie, alcoholic, and turned his life around to become a 160-pound tower of power, ultra runner, did a lot of crazy endurance events, was training himself to be a boxer. Just an amazing person in everything that he did. And he certainly helped me with my own positive thinking, which is my mantra. I wear a Be Positive wristband, and I give these out, and I talk about it all the time. And it's certainly been a major part of my being able to get through 2020. And a lot of that credit goes to David. Taught me, more about happiness, especially in this year that we're in, and about being more plant-based in my eating and how to just love more. So I certainly owe a huge debt of gratitude towards David. And I think a lot of people do, and that's part of the reason why I'm continuing this podcast. Keep in mind, I'm not David. In fact, I feel like I have a little bit of imposter syndrome going here because nobody can live up to what he was. He was amazing. In a way, I feel a little bit like whoever's going to replace Alex Trebek. You'll never be that person, and nobody will be Alex Trebek either. So, this first podcast in the comeback here, keep in mind, there's probably a lot of technical glitches here. I don't know what the hell I'm doing here with all this sound equipment I've got here or editing it. As I said to people before, I feel like somebody handed a caveman the keys to the space shuttle. This is going to be a steep learning curve for me. It already has been. I wanted to get this going several weeks ago, but I've just struggled with this technology. But I really want to give a huge thanks to Jason Koop, who is David's coach. Koop has his own podcast called Koopcast. Definitely check it out. It covers a lot of the world of ultra running, really interesting stuff. Koop is a very personable coach based down in Colorado Springs, and I owe him a huge debt of thanks here for getting me on the air here with this podcast. So what is this going to look like? I'm going to have a lot of David's former guests on here. He brought in a lot of people who have transformed their lives. They went from being obese or had addictions or other issues, and it went out and achieved audacious goals. So I'm going to bring back a lot of these former guests, get updates on where they are right now. I'm going to bring in some new guests, some people doing crazy things, or just impressive things, I should say, in the world of endurance events and other parts of their lives. So I'm going to kind of continue David's mission there. People were going through the process of change. It was really close to David's heart. He really was all about trying to help people make those changes and be more positive in their direction in life. And so, I went back and listened to David's first podcast in October of 2017, and he stated his mission there, and I'm going to try to live up to that. The thing he said in there is that we believe in you, that you can change, you can make positive changes to those around you. And so that's going to be kind of the constant theme of what this podcast looks moving forward. But don't worry, folks. There's going to be no shortage of ripping on Red Sox fans. I know you guys wouldn't want to, you know, do without that. And plus, we'll probably throw in a lot about the Houston cheater Astros as well. So just be forewarned about that. But, you know, David had a following, and I hope you'll stick around as we reboot this We Are Superman podcast. Just to let you know, David and I, you know, we actually talked about how we met. We're not even really sure. I recently found an email that I'd written to him back in 2011, but I think we really got to know each other later, probably very much through running. I think we may have been introduced by Scott Miller, who, common friend of ours through Lifetime Fitness. I'd coached Scott's son, Shane, at Horizon High School in Thornton, Colorado. And I think Scott probably is the one who introduced us, but we're not quite sure, but we certainly bonded together over running and certainly over our mutual interest in the New York Yankees and the New York Rangers. I don't have any tattoos, though. Not like David in that respect. But, you know, Dave and I got to know each other very well over the years. I ran alongside him for about 33 miles worth of his 48-hour treadmill run that he did. For those of you who didn't know, he ran 48 hours straight on a treadmill. Just still blows me away how anybody can do that. And I ran alongside him in three different stints, and just incredible what this man could do. You've probably heard about a lot of the things that he did. You know, kind of the latest was when he rode his fat tire bike this past January to support the NHL Supports Cancer a campaign, or maybe it was called NHL Fights Cancer. He rode his fat tire bike in January from Chicago to New York in six different NHL cities. Certainly a pretty tough feat there, over 1,000 miles doing that. I was a frequent podcast guest. Sometimes I'm listed, sometimes I was on, and David didn't even introduce me. I was kind of the guy who was sitting on the couch, kind of like what Ed McMahon did with Johnny Carson in the day, cackling at David's wisecracks and maybe making some wise-ass comments myself out there. But, you know, like I say, frequently on his podcast. And you know, I read his book Out There, A Story of Ultra Recovery. Hopefully a lot of you have read that. If you haven't, it is an awesome read. It details a lot about his early history and what made him the man he became. You know, how he changed from the person I described earlier to the machine he became. But the one thing I told him after reading that book was that it was a fantastic read, but the typos and the misspellings drove me crazy. And he said, well, that's nuts. Like, he hired an editor to do that. And I said, well, you know what? I need to be the last set of eyes on your next books. And so I was the editor, the second editor for Broken Open. And then I was the editor for Eat Shit and Die. And, you know, it was a great honor to be able to do that for him, because those are great books also. Definitely check those out if you can. And like I say, I think they are linguistically, grammatically a lot more perfect than Out There was. But that's just me speaking there. I am not somebody who comes from the obesity world. I'm sorry, the addiction world. I'm not obese. I think I weighed maybe 160 pounds max in my lifetime. I weigh about 147 right now. But certainly I got to know a lot about all of that through David and other people I know, and certainly it is something that's very, very important that we continue David's mission along those lines. I'm a coach. I've been coaching in high school for more than 30 years, high school cross country and track. I'm a runner myself. I began running back in the 1970s. I ran my first marathon, the Penn Relays Marathon, in 1979, quite ill-prepared for that. Back then, you couldn't go to the internet and read about how to run a marathon, so I made a lot of mistakes, wore cotton clothing, and chafed like crazy, but progressed on to running ultramarathons. My first Pikes Peak Marathon was in 1984, and then I first ran the Leadville 100 in 1992. Coincidentally, I was there for the 2 years that the Tarahumaras were running, but I've towed the line at the Leadville 100 eight times, plus a slew of other ultramarathons of varying distances all along the way. I also ran a sports business called I-9 Sports, a youth sports business. We focused on recreational sports, flag football, soccer, baseball, lacrosse, basketball. I'm missing something in there. Baseball, did I say, and cheerleading. Sold that business this past March. May have been pretty lucky with the timing on that. with the pandemic hitting, but nevertheless, moved on from the youth sports world. I now do book editing. So I took what I learned from David and I'm applying it into the editing world. So, you know, if you are, a lot of people are out there self-publishing books these days. You can't get the attention of big publishing houses to edit. To be edited or be published. And so that's what I'm doing. It's my service to go out and perform editing for people who are self-publishing their books. I couldn't find David's, or I haven't figured out yet how to get David's intro onto this podcast. I'm keeping the artwork, as you've seen, but that's why I have the Springsteen intro. It's from his live show here in Denver a few years ago where I got to be in the front row, which was just awesome. But that's kind of my mantra, though, is born to run. And like I said, I've been running for, more than 40 years. I'm usually injured. That seems to be a constant with me. I had a surgery every single year of the last decade, except for 2019. Knock on wood, I'll get through 2020 without one. One of the few positive things that could happen. But in any case, running is a big, big, big part of my life. And so that's why I have that Springsteen anthem of Born to Run on there. You know, a lot of people are probably still curious about David's passing, and I'm not going to get into a lot of granularity with that, but just to, you know, go into that a little bit, you know, David and I, we actually spent three straight days in May in a recording studio in Boulder doing the audiobook for Eat Shit and Die. And the whole time David was in there, he was in agony. I'm not sure how he made it through some of those days. I think when you're an ultra endurance athlete, maybe you're able to reach down and, you know, into that well of determination. And he was able to get through 3 days of recording. I'm not sure if he could have made it a fourth day. What was really interesting, though, is David was actually able to do these 50-mile bike rides each day. He was comfortable on the bike. He would ride from where he lived in Lafayette, Colorado, up to Ward, which is up... probably, 8,000 feet elevation on the peak-to-peak highway between Boulder and Estes Park. And he was able to do that fine. But boy, just sitting or anything like that, he was just in a lot of agony. And following that stint where we did his audiobook, I drove him to his MRI in Boulder. And I mean, he could barely get in and out of my vehicle. He was in bad shape. And the doctor, after seeing the MRI results, said, "Hey, you need to get in the hospital and, you know, get yourself. You've got a vertebrae impinging on your spinal cord. A sudden movement might result in paralysis. So they wanted to go in and do a disc fusion just as soon as possible." And so David checked himself into the hospital, and they did surgery. But obviously, things did not go right, and. I remember on the day that David passed, I was running laps around the hospital complex there. They were about mile-long laps, just trying to give him some strength, you know, just trying to send some strength in there. And like I say, unfortunately, it just didn't work out well. David was 49 years old, and we had five doctors come out onto the curb outside the hospital. This is after the whole COVID thing had already started, and they were all standing there just telling us that we've never seen anything like this. We don't know what happened. And it was just shocking, because here's a guy who was the epitome of health and a fairly routine back surgery that just didn't go right. There's some theories that maybe it was something called malignant hyperthermia, not hypothermia, hyperthermia, very rare. It's hard to know if that was it or not, but it was just, it was certainly just a shocking, rough deal there. And a lot of us gathered a couple days after David's passing, and we did 22 miles or permutations of the number 22, which was his Badwater number that was on the cover of his book, Broken Open. And, we ran 22 miles in his honor and, just tried to process that. It was just it was a tough thing. So David had a lot of legacies that, as I mentioned, I'm going to try to keep going. One of them, of course, is this podcast. Another one was something called his American Heroes Run. It's a race he put on every year on 9/11 in Longmont, Colorado, and he'd been doing it for 10 years. And it was coming up in September, and so I decided I wanted to keep that legacy going. It was a great race. He had interesting themes to a lot of the races. He had a 9.11 mile race. He had a 9 hour, 11-minute race, I should say. It was all to support first responders, to honor those who were lost on 9/11, and to honor our military veterans and military service people. And as David's motto was, as very typical of him, it was all about patriotism without politics. And, it's something we can certainly all unite around. So I picked up the mantle of directing that race, which wasn't easy because, the race was coming up in just a few months. I knew nothing about it. You have to get into things like active.com where, I don't have his passwords or anything like that. And then you throw in COVID. So we weren't even totally sure we were going to have this race until 11 days before the race. And, just all the while we're planning. And then all of a sudden, when we got the go-ahead from Boulder County Health Department, they are about as strict as anybody when it comes to the COVID sanitation and all the requirements, they eventually gave us permission, provided that everybody wore a mask the entire time, including those running 100 miles. And I had to go and sanitize the bathrooms every hour. There were very few races going on then, and we had to figure out very quickly how to do things. For instance, having individually packaged snacks in the aid stations, couldn't just have a big bowl of chips or pretzels or anything like that. Couldn't have coolers of drinks. So, but we managed to pull it off. And it was a great event. I was just so pleased with how happy everybody else was there. Mike Melton came out from Florida, and he set up his timing mechanism there. We had a big screen so everybody could see the race. Everybody ran on a 1.05-mile loop, and as they passed that scoreboard every lap, they could see how the race was unfolding. And we had some amazing performances out there. We had Jason Romero won the 100-mile race. If you don't know Jason, he is legally blind. But just an amazingly upbeat individual, and he ran in about 20 and a half hours. We had a wheelchair participant, Julia Beckley, who she completed 40 miles. We had Eugene Brockert come out from Illinois. He's 85 years old and completed 50 miles in 24 hours. We had a woman from Longmont, and I'm so sorry, I'm spacing out her name right now, but she ran the 50 miles in 17 and a half hours at the age of 74. And we had a couple guys, including the Jester, who were out there dueling in the 24-hour race. Each one completed just over 100 miles. I mean, it was incredible, some of the stories that were out there. We had one man, he was a firefighter and ran the 9.11-mile race in full firefighter gear, which was really impressive. And, we had the Gathchi family come out, great folks who've supported the race from the beginning. And they came out again and supported the race. So just a lot of people to thank. And it was really fantastic to have that race go on. We'll do it again next year. Again, on September 11th, there are races all the way from 5K up to 100 miles in 24 hours. And again, it's David's legacy, and it's all about, again, patriotism without politics. Just a great message out there. I mentioned, I have some thanks to give out. Certainly, I certainly owe a lot of thanks to David's family. Courtney, his girlfriend, and his entire immediate family, for them letting me carry on these legacies for David. They know I was close to him, and, certainly know David's work that he did with so many people, not just locally or in this country, even around the world. And so it's great that they're allowing me to basically continue his legacy moving forward. So I'm very indebted to all of them. And speaking of Courtney, the other legacy that we are continuing, she and I are co-coaching David's group called the Leadville 10 Warriors. These are people who are coming back from obesity or addictions, alcoholism, you name it, to achieve audacious goals. Things like running the heavy half at Leadville or the Leadville Marathon, or sometimes even further, their own 100-mile races, or a great bunch of people. I've gotten to know them all very well through this coaching. They are stretched all the way across the country and even over into Asia. We've got one participant over in Japan. And these folks are all, you know, like I say, fighting back issues they've had to become very strong warriors. And it's really impressive to see their upbeat attitudes and how they've embraced everything from plant-based eating to pushing themselves to overcoming addictions. The supportiveness of this group is incredible. And, you know, if it's something that resonates with you, certainly get in touch with me. And, you know, certainly we'd be happy to hook you up. I provide them coaching, you know, for their running programs. And I'm a big believer in not only running to make you stronger, to be a better runner, you need to take on core work, hip and glute strengthening work, weight room work, band work, whatever it is. And, you know, we're putting all that together along with Courtney's End, where she works a lot on the meditation piece, yoga, Pilates, and creating a whole package so that all of these athletes can go ahead and achieve these goals that in a lot of cases they never thought possible. We've had, you know, several members of this group who, you know, needed to lose quite a bit of weight, who have gone on to do some, you know, achieve some great feats. People who are, you know, fighting through a lot of their addictive tendencies. And that was where David came from. He cared a lot about people like that. And so we're very happy to keep that legacy going as well. And a part of that is that we've been able to continue a partnership that David had first fostered with Addict to Athlete. They're a Utah-based group founded by a gentleman by the name of Blue Robinson, who is he's a psychotherapist. I may have his title wrong, but very insightful person, knows all about that world, about it says it all, Addict to Athlete. It uses the Roman numeral 2 in the middle there. You can look them up online, and they're a great supportive group. Again, similar people who are, you know, overcoming their addictions to become athletes and do great things. So, you know, that partnership with Addict to Athlete is very valuable to our Leadville 10 Warriors group. And the final piece of David's legacy that I want to keep going, and this is where you come in, is I want to write what I'm calling David's fourth book. David had talked about a fourth book. This is not what he really had in mind, though, is so many people came to me with stories about how David impacted them and, you know, improved their lives, saved their lives. I'd like to share those stories. I would like everybody to be able to learn from that. Each one of us has individual ways that David helped us. And, you know, if I can put that together collectively for everybody to benefit from, I think it'll be a very powerful volume. So if you are listening and would like to contribute toward that, if you have stories of how David impacted you, please get a hold of me. I will put, and I'm going to figure out how to do show notes. I always hear people on podcasts talk about show notes. I'll figure out how to put my contact information there. I'll read it off the top here. I mean, you can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Instagram under Stahlor, Stahlor, or under just at Coach Stahl. I've got two Instagram accounts. My email address is silly_billy@msn.com. That's S as in Sam, I-L-L-Y _billy@msn.com. Sorry about that. When email first came around, I honestly thought it was just going to be a fad that was going to go away. And I had some kid I was coaching help me set up my account, and I just chose that and thinking just didn't matter. And here it is, many years later, I still have that email address. But you can send anything there or contact me directly. Let me know what you're thinking. If you prefer not to write it, I can do an interview with you and you know, obviously record what you are saying and then put that into the book that way. So that's where I would love for you to help me continue on David's legacy with what I'm calling his fourth book. So I appreciate your help very much. And just kind of wrapping things up here, as I mentioned, I'm going to cover those topics I mentioned earlier in this podcast. I'm not going to shy away from politics. You know, David would talk about that. We'd have discussions, and you know, I think right now, I think having calm discussions about politics would go a long way. I don't think personally there's enough talking, just interchange of ideas in this country in a calm way. I happened to be out in Portland, Oregon this summer and was in one of those protests. It wasn't the reason why I was there, but I went down to these protests because I didn't believe what I was seeing on TV in the media about what was going on out there. So I wanted to see it firsthand. And what I saw was very different than what I saw in the media. I think 98% of the people were down there very peacefully, but I definitely think there was wrong on both sides. I mean, I saw the federal agents behind the fence in front of that courthouse getting splattered with paintballs and having commercial grade fireworks lobbed in at them. So I understand why they were jumpy, but they also came out from behind the fence after a while and, you know, tear gassed the crowd. I got tear gassed a couple times myself. I know of a guy who was just standing there very peacefully who got hit by a rubber bullet in the leg for no reason. So again, I saw there was wrong on both sides, and I just thought, I don't even know what the two sides are trying to get at here, but if they would just sit down and talk to each other. And sure enough, a week or two after I was out there, the governor of Oregon talked to Mike Pence, and they withdrew the federal troops, and everything calmed down. So I just think, you know, in terms of politics, you know, a lot more of that needs to go on. And, you know, I know a lot of people have expressed a lot of consternation about, you know, the just passed election. And, you know, win or lose, whichever side you're on, I think we saw this after 2016. Your own success is in your own hands. It doesn't really matter who is in the White House, who's in Congress, so much as your own personal success is going to come with the actions that you take, and only you can move yourself forward. The government is not going to change that one way or another, no matter who's in office. So, you know, certainly, like I say, it was a lot of consternation over this last election. People were talking about how, oh, this is the end of America, or, you know, this is the beginning of socialism, or, you know, I think a lot of people are just getting, making too much of a catastrophe out of the fact that your own life is not going to be affected if you don't let it. And my final message is, you know, wear your mask. I know a lot of people bristle about mandates and such. To me, it's just, let's just do it, folks. You know, it's been the one thing that's been shown that definitely helps cut down the spread. They knew this back in the Spanish flu pandemic. If you look at the pictures there, they were wearing masks back then. I mean, it's a known thing. And, you know, I look at it also as the fact, you know, if we go back to 9/11, which we were talking about earlier, and, you know, after that, we no longer ran onto planes. You know, you remember the old, I'll date myself in age. You remember when O.J. Simpson was running through the airport and he would just, you know, run onto the plane. And that's what we used to do. You would, you know, get to the airport, you'd walk, run through the airport, you'd show your travel agent printed boarding pass to a gate agent and walk right onto the plane. And that was it. And ever since 9/11, we now have the TSA and we have, you know, bag searches, and, you know, you have to take off your shoes and your belt and put your fluids in bags. And it is a hassle, right? Nobody's going to disagree. It's not a hassle traveling these days because of all the security you have to go through. And that's permanent. That's never going to go away, right? We are stuck with that forever, for better or for worse. You know what? The bottom line is we're doing it because it saves people's lives, keeps people safe. I mean, when was the last time you heard about a plane being hijacked or a plane getting bombed out of the sky? I mean, it's all because of the security we go through now. And that's never going away. Whereas the whole thing with the masks eventually will go away. We will return to normal at some point. And if we just wear the masks now, we'll get through this. And we'll be able to return to doing all those things we like to do, whether it's running races, going to concerts, going to restaurants, going to ball games, etc. We'll all be back to that a lot sooner. So that's my one plea to you here as we head into the holidays. If some of you may, I don't know if this will get out on the air by Thanksgiving, but if nothing else, everybody have a happy holiday. I hope you continue to listen to this podcast. It's not going to be me putting on a soliloquy like this in the future, but this one is not going to be nearly as good as the guests that we have in the future. Hopefully I can live up to David Clark's legacy. And it's a great honor for me to sit in his seat, so to speak, but I look forward to filling his legacy, to providing you some great stories, some entertainment, and a podcast that you really enjoy. And you can find this on, hopefully, if I can figure out the technology, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart. I'm not sure where all you get podcasts these days, but I'm going to try to figure out this technology. Again, don't beat me up for the technical issues with this one. It'll get better with time once I figure out this technology. But thank you again for joining me on the We Are Superman podcast. I look forward to talking with you again sometime in the near future.